Have you seen the show on TV on Arts and Entertainment called Hoarders? I think I've got a picture of it up here. It's about people who just can't seem... This is actually my house. No. It's people who cannot seem to throw stuff away, and they hoard it. And it's one of those compelling shows that you want to turn it off, but you can't because it's so interesting. If you look behind this theory behind this, apparently there are people in this world that hoard stuff. And it's almost a psychological disorder. It's called compulsive hoarding or pathological collecting. It's a pattern of behavior that is characterized by the excessive acquisition of and inability or unwillingness to discard large quantities of objects that cover the living area of the home and cause significant distress or impairment. That would cause me significant stress or impairment. Compulsive hoarding behavior has been associated with health risks, impaired functioning, economic burden, and adverse effects on family and members. When clinically significant enough to impair functioning, hoarding can prevent typical uses of space so as to limit activities such as cooking, cleaning, moving through the house, sleeping. It can also be dangerous if it puts the individual or others at risk from fire, falling, poor sanitation, and other health concerns. And then, about a year later after this, they found that there were people that hoarded animals. Have you heard about this? There's one guy that had like 85 chickens in his house. Now, I have chickens. They stay out in the coop, and there's a reason why they stay out in the coop. Because there's one thing that chickens do constantly, and that is poop. And this guy had chickens in his house, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life, and I was going to show a picture of it, but today's brunch Sunday, and I wanted to be kind. You're welcome. So I've seen a couple episodes of the show. It is just horrid to watch. It's one of those things. You just cannot turn it off. And I've known people who hoard. If you've ever lived with an early childhood teacher, everything in early childhood is something that could be used as an early childhood craft. And so, if you go to a place where an early childhood teacher lives, you might find things like boxes of toilet paper rolls or paper towel rolls or buckets or all sorts of things that could be used for a craft, and they just sit in boxes everywhere because it can always be used. Now, today we're going to continue our sermon series that we started a couple weeks ago about images from the marketplace, and it's not correct in your bulletin this morning. Today we're actually going to talk about property. The readings are correct, but somehow I messed up on the actual sermon title. We're going to talk about property this morning. We're going to talk about those possessions that you have in your life. Those possessions that sometimes you hoard in your life, those possessions that you call your own. Because the marketplace certainly was filled with property, and people went to the marketplace and they traded things so that they could get different things and different properties. It was something that was very much alive at the time of Jesus. But the time of Jesus was so different than the time today. And Jesus went to the marketplace and he would buy things that he needed for today. It might be grain, it might be chickens, it might be eggs. It might be something that he would use over the next few days, but then they would have to go to the marketplace again to get something else. The world was totally different at the time of Jesus than it is today. Our world is, commerce and marketplace is so different. I want to give you a few examples because Jesus, in our lesson today, in our gospel lesson today, he said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." He's saying, don't hoard, but put your treasures in heaven. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, well, that's a metaphor that we should do good things on earth so that when we get to heaven, those things will still be there for us. And yes, that's true. But if you go to the end of that lesson, Jesus says you can't serve God and mammon. And there are a lot of people that hoard money and treasures and possessions. And if you look at the New Testament in Luke 12, there was a story of this guy that comes up to Jesus, and Jesus was telling a parable about the guy who has all this great grain from his crops. And so he is going to go and build bigger barns to store all the grains for his crops. And Jesus says, "You fool, do not store up stuff in your life." You look at the early church, and what did they do in Acts chapter 2? They came together, they sold all their possessions, they gave to everyone that had need, and they didn't store anything. This is the early church. And yet we in the United States today, we're told that we should plan for retirement, we should make sure we've got enough money for an emergency situation, and if we're really good stewards of American citizenship, that we should make sure that we've got plenty of money to carry us through until our old age, and that's what is called being a good steward. And yet Jesus is saying, don't store up that stuff. I mean, if you think about it, it is a really huge dichotomy, isn't it? What are we supposed to do? And I've spent the last couple days studying Scripture and looking at it, and I think the answer is I'm not entirely sure. But I do know a few things that come out of Scripture. So what I'm going to talk to you today is just three myths that I think that we have that maybe could talk to about property and possessions. And the first myth is this. Myth number one. Our goal in life is this, to accumulate stuff. Right? Isn't that? If you were to go into any American school today and go into a classroom, isn't that kind of what they say the goal of life is? Is to, you got to get a great education so you can get a great job, so that you can get great money, so you can start accumulating stuff. I'm sure you've seen the bumper sticker that says, "He who dies with the most toys wins." I mean, isn't that kind of the American culture? Is that we're supposed to accumulate stuff so that when you die, he who has the most toys is, you know, kind of the winner in life. Is that what it's really all about? That's a myth. You know, we teach this story. I remember, actually, Disney made a movie, or somebody made a movie about the ant and the grasshopper. And you know, the ants are so, it's an Aesop's fable, and they go and they store and they hoard and they put things so that when the winter comes, they can have all that sort of thing. But then the grasshopper, he plays and plays, and when winter comes, he doesn't have a place, so he has to come and live with the grasshopper, or he has to come and live with the ants. I mean, that's what the kind of stuff that's told, and it's actually good, right? Because we should be prepared for winter. But we, as an American culture, are saying that the goal in life is to have possessions. The goal in life is to be the one at the end with the most toys, but that is not the goal in life. If that's truly what the goal in life is to have possessions, then how do you explain all the people of the world that have very little, that are very satisfied with their life? There was a gentleman in the 90s, his name was Peter Menzel, and he took a trip to 30 countries around the world, and he had people in those countries pull every possession out of their house and put it in the front driveway. Have you seen this? It is an incredible documentary about the amount of possessions that people have in the world. I have a few pictures of there. The first one is from Tokyo, Japan. This is a family in Tokyo, Japan. And then the next one, this is Bhutan, which is on the eastern end of the Himalayas. Just look at the few possessions they have. You can see on their house and there. That's what they have. Or how about Mali? This is a family that lives in Mali. That's everything that they own. Or how about this one? India. This is a family in India. This is everything that they own. Now compare that with the United States. This is a family from Texas. Now, my question to you is, if they pulled everything out of your house, what would it look like? Would it look a lot like this? If it was my house, the driveway's not big enough to hold all the stuff. Is the goal in life really to have as many riches and possessions as you possibly can, or is it something else? You know, we as Christians, we know that the goal in life is simply to have a relationship with God. And if you have a relationship with God, you have everything. And if you don't have a relationship with God, you have nothing. And it doesn't matter how much stuff you have in your life or how much stuff you have in your house or how much stuff you've hoarded, it is all meaningless because when you get to the end of life, you can't take it with you. It doesn't matter. The goal in life is how much stuff you have. The goal in life is being a child of God and using the stuff you have for His service. That's the first myth. Well, maybe then, the goal of life should be the second myth, which is we should live as Jesus did. Maybe we should sell everything and become like Him. Today, Jesus would probably be called what? Homeless, right? He didn't have a place to live. He wandered around from place to place. He probably slept out in the wilderness, and he probably trapped his food and caught his food and ate off of the common area of the land. So if we did that today, we'd probably be thrown in jail, wouldn't we? Because there is no common place for us anymore. Our life, our American society is so complicated that we simply couldn't live by. If you were Jesus today, you would be called a vagrant and you would be thrown in jail, or perhaps you'd be thrown into a homeless shelter and you can say you have 5 days, but then you got to move out again. We said, well, maybe then we should be like the Amish, you know, we should create a little community. We've got 40 acres. Let's just everybody sell everything and we live in our own little community and we all serve each other and we can live very plain and we can live very simply. But remember that the gospel isn't just for us. The gospel is for the whole world. So what that means is we can't just necessarily live like the Amish and we can't necessarily create our own community. We need to be a part of the world. We need to go out into the world and be in the world, but not let the world dominate us. So maybe we can't live like Jesus did in today's 20th century America. It would be very difficult, and yet it would be a wonderful thing if we could do that. But the final myth that I want to talk to you about this morning is this: I earned it, and so it's mine. Now, I want you to think about this. This whole concept of what is your property and what isn't your property actually wasn't even finalized until the Enlightenment of the 17th century. And it was a guy named John Locke, believe it or not. I've got a picture of John Locke. He was an English philosopher. And he was looking for a moral way, a moral philosophy to talk about what was yours and what wasn't yours. And according to John Locke, basically, his philosophy was this: anything that you make with your hands is yours. Anything that anybody else makes with their hands is theirs. And anything that isn't part of that is kind of like a community property, and it is yours and free to use as long as you don't waste it and as long as you don't hoard it. And so we in the United States, because our U.S. Constitution came from John Locke, a lot of his philosophies, we have very, very, very strong property rights. And it is something that's carried through from England over here to the United States. And we feel very, very strongly about our property rights. We feel very, very strongly about that stuff that's ours and that stuff that's yours and the stuff that's the government. We've built a whole entire system on that property right. We have a whole incredible legal system that backs up the property right. And what that has done is basically put into our heads that this stuff is mine and that stuff is yours, and don't you dare touch my stuff. And I will certainly not touch your stuff. But at the time of Jesus, there was a lot more stuff that was held in common that they used together. We don't have a lot of common stuff here in the United States anymore, but there was a lot at Jesus' time. And what that has done is it's set up a mind frame here in American citizens that says that everything I own is mine. But is that really the truth? Is everything that you own really yours? Well, I made it with my own hands. Yeah. Who made your hands? Who gave you the feet? Who gave you the life breath to be able to do the stuff that you do to make the stuff of your hands? You are God's chosen treasure. But you are God's. And everything that you have in life, I know that you think it is yours, but it is truly a gift from Him that He gives to you. It was His first and His always. And we in the United States, I think, sometimes get it backwards. We think it's all ours because I made it. No, it's yours because God gave it to you, and God gave you the strength to be able to do it. It truly is something that God has given you, and it is a gift that he gave you, and he doesn't want you just to hoard it and become like these people that just take all your gifts and hoard it and never share it. God wants you to use what gifts he's given you to be able to be his people in this world, to be able to change the world for his kingdom. That's what God has given you, the gifts, the possessions, the things that he's given you. It's for him. You know, I said that that was a picture of my house. It's not really, but it's close. Because I was going through, you know, my garage. It seems like I've got so much junk in my house. I remember when I moved from St. Louis to Vail and then back and that sort of thing. I mean, I kept moving boxes and boxes that would say, kids junk, kids junk, kids junk. So I'd move it, and, you know, we'd place it and things. And I keep thinking, if I open this up, am I going to really find junk? Because I don't want to move junk from place to place to place. I think I've got way too many possessions in my life. I think I could way simplify my life. When we lived in St. Louis at the seminary, it was in a very, very, very small apartment, all six of us. I mean, it was like a 1,200-square-foot apartment. It was very, very tiny. We had very little things. Everything else was gone. You know what? It was one of the coolest times in my life. I didn't have a lot of possessions that I had to worry about, you know, because possessions, you got to store them, you got to keep them, you got to do something with them. I didn't have any of that stuff. It was a very freeing thing. And I look at these pictures of these people from around the world and I think, you know, maybe there's something to that. But whatever possessions you have, whatever possessions I have, may God give you the strength and the wisdom and the courage to use them for him and to his glory. And may you not rely on them for your worth and your value. You are of infinite value, not because of the possessions you have, but because of the one who came and gave his life for you and gave you the possessions that you have. In his name, amen.